Oh, I didn't realise it at all. I was always convinced, right up until tonight, that it was going to work out. It was inevitable.
4-2, Forest lead, forward by Tudgate, looking for Earnshaw. Mistake, Earnshaw in! Earnshaw buries it! Forest have hit five against Derby!
A fantastic free kick for Nottingham Forest. And Pearce has done it again.
Big moment this, Hughes! A shot for Longa!
25 yards out, he's going to shoot! Oh, what a goal from John Stead!
Ben Davis, yes! Fantastic free kick! Notts County double their lead, and now they are dreaming of Meadow Lane!
Lucy Seacon-Cohen, he's got the better of Matter. Now Chris Gunter, storming into the box. And the volley from Majewski! Fantastic goal for Nottingham Forest from Majewski! An absolute beauty, and
now 2-0. 3 minutes to go of stoppage time. 1-1. As Bent is beaten in the air by Wilson. Ball breaks for Tesher. Tesher left hand side for Osborne. Bit of space for Ben Osborne towards the edge of the penalty area. The youngster goes on and smashes it home. What a strike from Ben Osborne!
This is URN Sport.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Over the Trent, a podcast which has returned to URN Sport after a lengthy absence, covering our local football teams, Nottingham Forest and Notts County, as a supplement to our usual Thursday sports show, which covers everything in the world of local sport. My name is Joe Tanner. I'm joined today on the show by Callum Scotland, Joe McKenzie and Liam Kenny. Now, we'll be discussing the Reds and the Magpies' recent results, as well as controversies and news on and off the pitch, which has been in plentiful supply over this winter period. Now, focusing first of all on Kevin Nolan's Notts County, who got their first victory under the former West Ham and Newcastle midfielder on Saturday in a 2-1 triumph over Crawley Town at Meadow Lane.
The turnaround isn't complete, but things are going in the right direction for Notts County under Kevin Nolan, unlike the first half-header of Jonathan Fort. The chance of a first league win since October hit an almighty speed bump when Curtis Thompson saw his second booking of the afternoon for a cynical tug on Jordan Roberts. But a melee in the box finally brought joy to the home fans at Meadow Lane. The final touch claimed by Thierry Ordel. No one in a Crawley shirt wanted to argue with him. The cheers were short-lived, however, as James Collins' creamy strike sucked the wind out of the county sails with 4 minutes to go. But this was County's day. As Nolan's side battled through adversity once again, the fortuitous rebound falling to Fort. 3 points coming to County for the first time in 14 outings.
So County up to 21st in the League 2 table with that 2-1 win over Crawley Town at Meadow Lane on Saturday. Joe and Liam, you were at the game as ever. What moment was that like, that final goal in the dying embers of the game when County were down to 10 men? It must have been a pretty great atmosphere down there at that point.
It was absolutely amazing. I was just completely ecstatic. After seeing week in, week out, bad performance after bad performance, it was so good to see the team galvanised and playing really well, all playing for each other. When we went down to 10 men, it was looking bad, but we were still piling on the pressure and creating chance after chance. And to win it in the dying embers was just, I was just absolutely ecstatic.
Yeah, completely the same. I think the mood leaving the stadium was something we haven't experienced for a good few months, was it, Joe? Like, everyone was happy, they were smiling faces, and there was such a air of positivity. It was just a pandemonium in the stands when that winner went in. Jonathan Forte, I owe you a drink.
Guys, I just want to ask, do you think that the sort of appointment of Kevin Nolan as manager has galvanised the players from a point where it seemed last term as though John Sheridan was always sort of giving them a lot of stick and not giving them any praise at all, regardless of the result? I mean, even if they'd played well and lost, he was still giving them a lot of stick, saying that they couldn't beat a pub team and things like that. Do you think this introduction of Kevin Nolan and his appointment and the way that he's worked under Sam Allardyce, who's known as one of the best man managers in the game, do you think that that's sort of galvanised the players and given them an air of positivity?
Yeah, I think John Sheridan almost reduced the playing squad to absolute nothing during like his close of his management at the time. Like you said, he was critical of them in the press and even banned player interviews and stuff like that. Almost became a sort of totalitarian regime with him not allowing the players to speak out against him. And I think with Kevin Nolan in, obviously with any new manager, you often get a honeymoon period. But I think his direct approach as well, and his no-nonsense approach, has definitely stripped things back. And now, with one win under his belt and one draw, things are only looking up.
Yeah, Kevin Nolan got a lot of stick when he came in, people saying he doesn't deserve to manage, he's not fit out for a relegation dogfight because he has very little managerial experience. But as you said, his experience working with Sam Allardyce at three teams, I think they were always very close. And I think that he's probably learned a lot from Sam Allardyce over the time and has really instilled a winning mentality back into the team.
Yeah, Kevin Nolan really does seem to have galvanised the club as a whole down at Meadow Lane. Here is what the Notts County manager had to say after that match on Saturday.
The reaction to going to down to 10 men, I think that then, you know, it sums to me that we've got 10 men and we still took the game to Crawley and they didn't really bother us. And for them to, you know, they're going to have a chance when they're firing balls in the back and you've got to be resilient, you've got to do that. And the lads shown it and we got a bit of luck. And I always say, when you win football matches, you've got to have luck. And it's turned for us today because we deserved it. And we deserved it because we were the better side from start to finish. And we deserved that bit of luck at the end when it just fell into Adam Collins' hands with the header. Because I think if they would have walked out here with the draw, they would have felt really, you know, that they've got away with one, you know. So I'm delighted for our lads because it, you know, it takes a lot of pressure off them, gives them a lot of release. But I know they'll be going home now high as a kite, and it's about us now coming in Monday, making sure that we can bring them back down to earth and get us that happy medium what we need, because we can't get too high when we're winning games, can't get too low when we're losing them. And that's what we've got to start instilling to these players, is that the belief that we can win games more often than not in this league.
He seems to come across in his post-match interview there as sort of quietly confident, quietly going about his business in the early days of his tenure at Meadow Lane. Joe and Liam, do you think that long-term he's got the ability to bring stability back to Meadow Lane after so much turmoil over these past years?
I think there is a genuine fear that because he is the name he is, if he does do a successful job in keeping Notts County up this season, we might find ourselves searching for a new manager over the summer again, because I think one of the bigger clubs or one of his former clubs might come in and look to install him at their helm. But I think away from that, if he does do well this season and he does keep us up, he would definitely be the man going forward to develop and progress the team.
There's been so many managerial changes at Notts County. It's time for some stability. And I think that he seems to have a really good working relationship with Alan Hardy, the new chairman, as well. They seem to bounce off each other quite well, certainly in the press conferences that I've seen them both in. And I think that Kevin Nolan, he's cut out for this kind of thing. He really is. Like, he's been involved in, you know, struggling teams. He helped get West Ham back up at the first time of asking, and then we struggled for a bit in the Premier League. I think that he's the sort of person who will really, as well as galvanising the squad, he'll actually inject a little bit of quality at League 2 level now that he's registered as a player as well.
Yeah, I was just going to come on to the news that indeed Kevin Nolan has been registered as a player as of today, according to owner Alan Hardy, who appointed Nolan as manager on the 12th of January earlier this month, but the 34-year-old midfielder was unable to sign as a player because of the club's transfer embargo. However, debts to HM Revenue, Customs and other clubs have now been settled, which means that Nolan can fully participate in the team on as well as off the pitch. What kind of a boost for you, Joe, and you, Liam, does Nolan give on the pitch as well as off it?
I can't wait to see him play, personally. You know, it was only a couple of seasons ago he was starting regularly in the Premier League. He's a Premier League quality player, and even though he's 34 now, so he's probably a bit past it, I think at League 2 level he'll still be able to perform to a very high quality. I've definitely got much more ability than the majority of the players in League 2, so despite his age, I still think he's going to get out and add a lot to the team's midfield. And, you know, he's a former captain, and I think that he'll perform like a leader and influence all the other players to up their game.
Yeah, most definitely. I completely agree. I think he's going to be a great addition to the league as well. Just having Kevin Nolan back playing, just a privilege as a Kevin Nolan fan. And I've just read that Stanley Abor has been released by Notts County, which was another centre midfielder. So it looks like Kevin is going to go in, slot straight into the team. And I think it's a quite ominous name for opposition looking forward to playing Notts County with Michael O'Connor and Kevin Nolan starting centre mids. It's a very industrial, tough tackling midfield.
I just want to get sort of your guys' views, obviously, as people who go and watch County on a regular basis. Just want to get your views on Nolan as a player, because he's very well known for his tenacity. He's never shied away from a tackle or a challenge. He's never shied away from squaring up to anyone. But do you think that by adding a 34-year-old midfielder, Notts County going in the wrong direction? Because you've already got John Stead, who's getting up there in years. You've got Alan Smith as well, who we all know he's getting on as well. Do you think that they're going slightly in the wrong direction with this injection of experience, and they should be looking a little bit more at youth?
Absolutely not. I think the fact that they're in the relegation battle means the main thing this season is just absolutely pivotal to stay in the league. For a team like Notts County, with all the history, to go into the conference, they could end up there for years and years, and it could be really terrible. First things first, Notts County needs to stay up this season, and then from then on you can look to implement some youth into the side.
I think you are right. It would be a step going backwards if these signings continue to happen. I mean, I've seen the name Shola Amiobi thrown around today for a potential transfer target for Notts County. But just coming from, you know, you mentioned the chairman there, Alan Hardy, coming from his Twitter account, he was asked first thing this morning if there was any surprise big names coming into the lane today. And he actually responded with some amazing youth, young talent. He said the balance of experience in youth is critical, but we all want to see young, exciting players with pace. So I think most definitely the right direction of youth is held, the opinion is held by Alan Hardy as well as yourself.
That's an excellent example there that you just touched on about how Alan Hardy, the new chairman at Notts County, has been so keen to patch up the void really between the fans and the club at Meadow Lane, which existed and was exacerbated for all those years with the instability and chopping and changing of managers. Do you see now a return of that link between the fan base and the club board with the new ownership under Alan Hardy?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it helps a lot that he's actually from Nottingham himself, I believe, and he's owner of Paragon, a furniture company that's actually founded in Nottingham. So he is very much born and bred within the city, so would hold a lot of the same sort of views. And he's a County fan himself, so it is all positive.
Now, along with that Shola Amiobi rumour, Carlton Cole has also been on the lips of many transfer predictors on this transfer deadline day. But one deal that was confirmed in the last couple of days has been Blackpool winger Mark Gates, who became the first signing under Nolan's tenure after the transfer embargo was lifted. The 32-year-old has played 16 matches for the Tangerines this season, but has moved to their League Two rivals on a permanent deal. Yates has made 384 career league appearances for clubs including Sheffield United, Watford and Bradford. Now, guys, do we see that position on the wing as something which needed strengthening by Kevin Nolan?
I mean, it's an interesting signing because, as was said earlier, they seem to be bringing in sort of a lot of old players and stuff. But I think that he's played consistently for Blackpool this season, and he could definitely be a good signing. I haven't seen too much of him play, but hopefully he can add some experience and do well on the wings, where I think we have been lacking a bit of firepower and pace. But I don't know if at his age he's going to inject that which we need.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, the wingers that we've got at the moment, I mean, Graham Burke's not doing too great, and the service into John Stead this season hasn't been really there at all. I mean, his goals have dried up, so hopefully he can provide. I mean, he's 32, so once again, how long is he going to be there? Hopefully it's just sort of like a mercenary signing to the end of the season, because as I say, going forward, it's not great having 32 plus 34 signings coming in.
You touched on it there, Liam. It's something that I think is quite interesting, the quality of ball that's been whipped into John Stead this season. You said yourself his goals have dried up since the start of the season. I think that Mark Yates as a signing could be very good, especially now that Nolan's signed, because Nolan, we all know, he's absolutely renowned for getting himself into the right areas in the box. The ball drops in the 6-yard box, there's someone going to be on it, and his name's going to be Kevin Nolan. And I think that now that he's there, Stead and Fort are going to have a little bit of the pressure taken off them for sort of the goal scoring for the club. So I think that Yates could be a very good signing if he's got the delivery that we are all hoping that he has.
Yes, Yates, another experienced pro that has joined the Notts County squad. Here is what the new player from Blackpool had to say on his arrival at Meadow Lane.
To be honest, look, I just want to get on the ball and try and make things happen, whether that be, you know, behind the front man or from out wide. I've always been about trying to just, you know, make chances and try and chip in with the odd goal if I can. I've been lucky, you know, these set pieces, I suppose, is something that a lot of people would, you know, have brought me in for, and hopefully, you know, we can get out there and do the business. You know, I'm really looking forward to it. It's exciting, and you know, I think I'm telling buzzing.
Now, on the transfer deadline day, which we have today, gentlemen, do we see any further moves for Notts County in this transfer window? And where do we hope, position-wise, for Kevin Nolan's side, those signings would be?
Firstly, I'd like to see, we had a young striker on loan from Wolves, Aaron Collins, who's been recalled now, and I don't think his pace has really been replaced. I've heard rumours today of a West Brom youngster called Tavon Campbell, who spent first half of the season on loan at Yeovil. He's actually made about 24 appearances for them, I think. He was actually recalled, and I think there's been sort of inklings made to his availability. And there was also an under 23 game today that took place at Meadow Lane, where Notts Forest have beaten Notts County's under 23s. And there's a player in that game called George Grant, who's putting a good performance that we've been linked with consistently throughout the day. He's an excited midfielder, and I think him and Kevin Nolan as our two midfield signings for the day wouldn't be a bad deadline day.
I've seen a lot of rumours of sort of players like, you know, Ami Obi and Carlton Cole have been linked with the club, old friends of Kevin Nolan. But I'm not really sure if that's the type of player we need, because we've already got sort of ageing strikers where we can just sort of chuck the ball into the box. I'd really like to see some more sort of exciting young players with a bit more pace come into the team. Whether or not that's going to happen before deadline, I don't know.
Just a centre-half at the back as well, I think. I think Duffy and Hollis have struggled a lot this season, especially when one of them drops out the team and it is a varied centre-back pairing. So I'd like someone to come in, just as somebody with a lot of League Two experience.
Well, we'll look forward to hopefully some more moves in the transfer window as it draws to a close today on the 31st of January for Notts County. But moving across the city to the City Ground, and Nottingham Forest have made some transfers of their own. Firstly being Benfica midfielder João Teixeira on loan until the end of the season. The 22-year-old was previously on loan with Championship rivals Wolves, making 20 appearances this term for that side. He scored in a league win over Brentford in September, but has only played 4 games since Paul Lambert was named as Wolves boss in November. They've also attain the signature of Aston Villa midfielder Aaron Tishbola on loan for the remainder of the season. The 22-year-old joined Villa from Reading in July and has made 10 appearances for the Championship club. And there's further rumours of Ross McCormack from Aston Villa and Zach Clough from Bolton as well. But here is what new signing Tishbola had to say on his arrival at the City Ground.
For me, my ambitions are high. You know, I don't see why not. We can't, you know, string a good few couple wins and get back nearer to the playoffs. And you know, I think, you know, we've got some good players here. The lads are great. So I think that the morale's good in the dressing room. Everything's good, you know. So I don't see why not. Well, we can't be fighting for the playoffs.
Now, Callum, obviously there's so much going on off the pitch at the moment for Nottingham Forest, which is why I chose to focus on the more on the pitch matters at the City Ground. Do we think that these new signings will boost Forest survival prospects, and where else do you think that interim manager Gary Brazil's team need to strengthen before the end of the window?
I think the signing of Teixeira on loan from Liverpool is going to be really key, because for a start, that's going to take a real weight off Ben Osborne's shoulders. He's been the real creative outlet for Nottingham Forest, and he's almost been he's been the focal point of their attacks, you know, since Lansbury's been out injured, and obviously now he's been transferred. And I think that now that Teixeira's come in, you'll have one on one wing and one on the other. They'll swap over, and I think that he can really bring a sort of creative spark that's been missing outside of Ben Osborne for Nottingham Forest this season. As for Shibola, I'm not so sure. I don't really know very much about him, but I can't see him being a first team player straight away, whereas I can see Teixeira going in there. And I mean, he played 20 times for Wolves before the 5th of November, so he must be a fairly decent player to do that. As for the rumours of Ross McCormack and Zach Clough, I think Zach Clough could be a tough ask, because I think Bolton will want north of sort of $3.5 million for him, which maybe Forrest won't want to spend. As for Ross McCormack, I think he's pretty unhappy at Villa at the moment as well. There's a chance that Forrest can get him on a cut price deal, and he's certainly a championship quality player who could provide service for the likes of Asamoah Longo and Velios towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I think Villa are pretty unhappy with him as well, given his recent antics of not being able to get out of his house for training. But on the note of those rumours, it's clear then, Joe, that Forrest are certainly after a goal-scoring striker because of Asamoah Longo's injury-prone nature and also the lack of options up there and for Nottingham Forest. Do you think, out of those two, which one would you want to be signing if you were Gary Brazil?
Oh, without a doubt, Ross McCormack. He's a championship quality striker. He's consistently scored sort of 20-plus goals in the championship for a good sort of 5-6 seasons. Hasn't been banging them in this season for Villa, but all strikers need is a couple of goals to get a bit of form back. And if we could get him on a cut price deal, he could be a really, really good signing. And I really think they should try and pursue that. If there's any chance of getting Ross McCormack, I think he'd be a great addition to Nottingham Forest.
Personally, I think I would rather get Zach Clough in, purely because he's proven himself at League One. He's better than League One. If you've got an attacking midfield of Ben Osborne, Zach Clough and João Teixeira behind whoever the striker is, you're going to get service. And they're all goal-scoring midfielders as well, so it's going to be dangerous for the opposition towards the end of the season if they can get Zach Clough. That said, I absolutely would not turn Ross McCormack down. Like you said, he's a goal scorer, a proven goal scorer at this level, maybe even slightly better than championship level. So I wouldn't turn my nose up at either of them.
Both those striking options you would think would be somewhere in the region of $10 million or above for Forest. But moving on to the defence, I think it's quite clear with the recent antics and mistakes of the likes of Matt Mills and Michael Mencian at the back for Forest that is clearly an area which needs strengthening. Callum, would there be any targets particularly in the window that you would be looking at, or just more sort of the broader fact that they do need some sort of defenders in, or some sort of reshuffle of the pack?
I don't necessarily think that they're going to get anyone in. They were linked with Rhys Oxford on loan from West Ham, the 17-year-old, but he's gone to Reading today, so that's not happening. I think that the main issue is that Philippe Montagnier kind of alienated some of the players at the back by not playing them. Jack Hobbs has played quite a lot since Gary Brazil was made interim manager, and he's done quite well. And I think he played 3 or 4 games under Montagnier, which is criminal because Hobbs is a very, very good defender. And I think all that needs to happen is Gary Brazil needs to settle on a back four. That we've said this for 5 months now under Montagnier, that he never settled on a back four or a back five, and he never had his defence sorted out. There was never 2 or 3 games on the bounce where he played the same back five, and I think that's really key at this level, is to get a modicum of consistency from your defence. And I think once Gary Brazil starts to do that, we'll start to reap rewards, because you know you can't lose a game if you don't concede a goal.
Just going back to the signing of the winger Teixeira there, would his signing, and along with Tish Buller as well, would that jeopardise the likes of Jamie Ward and Matty Cash's position in the Forest team, or do you think it's a healthy move for the purpose of creating more competition within that Forest squad?
Definitely, it'll create more competition and take a lot of pressure off those players that you mentioned, because when there is a lack of competition within the squad, as we all know, players can sort of rest on their laurels to be starting week in, week out, and not put the effort in training, which obviously has a negative effect. So I think most definitely the addition of these players is a positive thing.
Yeah, I think Matty Cash now can maybe go back to playing right back like he did at the start of the season, did very well there. And Jamie Ward, I think he's about 28, 29 now. So, I mean, he's certainly in the prime of his career. But with the number of games that you play in the Championship every season, there's no need for him to be playing every single minute of every single game. So the signings of Teixeira and Tishbola really mean that I think he can sort of run his socks off for 60 minutes, which is what Jamie Ward does best. He works his absolute socks off for the team, and then he can come off and one of the other two can come on and be a creative spark for the last 20 minutes and, you know, do something that will maybe get a winner or an equaliser for Forest.
Now, in other news regarding the Reds, it has come out recently in the week that Burton Albion boss Nigel Clough has turned down the vacant manager's job at Championship rivals Forest. Clough was granted permission to speak to Forest, for whom he played for more than 300 games and scored 131 goals, and who his father, of course, Brian Clough, also managed. But the 50-year-old has chosen to stay at the side, which he helped reach the second tier for the first time last season. Clough said staying is the right thing to do, with the 20th place Burton one position behind Forest. Having started this historic season in the Championship, it is only right that we should stay and continue the job of trying to achieve the miracle of keeping Burton Albion in the Championship. Guys, do we see that as a very wise move from the perspective of Nigel Clough, not to move across the East Midlands to a club under the ownership of Fawaz, where managerial positions have, of course, been jeopardised in the past?
I think Nigel Clough, from his personal point of view, has made the right decision. He's made history with Burton Albion, and to sort of throw it all away, I know he has a lot of allegiance to Nottingham Forest, and obviously his dad, whilst he was manager there, showed he's one of the greatest managers of all time. But to sort of cut and run from Burton Albion and join Nottingham Forest, where there's lots of instability, probably wouldn't be wise for him personally. I think it's a blow to Nottingham Forest that they weren't able to get him, but I completely understand why he's turned the position down.
Yeah, I think Nigel Clough, had he gone to Forest, for a start, he would always have been living under his father's shadow. And I think that had he gone to Forest, Fawaz would have stayed. He's still there, but he would have stayed for even longer. He'd have been secure in the knowledge that he'd got his number one managerial target. And I think that now that he's been turned down, maybe he'll have a second thought about selling up the club, because at this point it's what all the Forest fans want is for Fawaz to be out, and I think that Nigel Clough has done absolutely the right thing. He's not the most liked man at the City Ground after his spells with Derby, and like he said, it's the right thing to do to stay with Burton, because he's done so much for them.
As you mentioned there briefly, Callum, the Fawaz protests have been in full swing ever since that home game with Bristol City almost 10 days ago. We've got here some clips of those protests in that game against Bristol City.
Fawaz al-Sawi!
Get out of our club!
Get out of our club! Get out of our club! Fawaz al-Sawi! Get out of our club!
We want our first back!
So clearly there, that is, as Callum said, probably what the majority of the fans want at Forest. I mean, other possible candidates for the Forest managerial role have been Gary Rowett, and Alan Pardew has also been some of the bookies' favourites as well. Guys, do we see any other possible candidates? I mean, surely as a manager, you're looking at that Forest position and thinking, why on earth would I want to go there because of the position that the club is in at the moment?
Absolutely. It's a completely poisoned chalice. It's one of the... personally, for me, it, at this point in time, it's one of the worst jobs in football to try and walk into. I mean, England manager has always been touted as the worst job in
possibly
football.
Possibly Leeds United until Gary Monk came in.
But yeah, I mean, the Forest job at the moment is an absolute... You wouldn't go near it. You wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot barge pole. So I think the people I've seen floated about have been obviously Clough, who turned it down. I saw Billy Davis was second favourite at one point to come back for a third spell. King Billy, who was an absolute tyrant when he was in charge. So I don't know who's going to take it. Gary Rowett turned it down as soon as his name was mentioned, which is the wisest move I think he's ever made. But I don't know who they're going to take, because there's just no one who looks... There's no sensible manager who looks at that job and thinks, yeah, I'll have a go at that. I fancy 4 months in a job before the fans hound me out.
Yeah, completely agree. And they went for... I read that they went for Barnsley boss Paul Heckingbottom, who was then questioned as to what he thought of being linked with the position, and he literally agreed with you and said, what's the point? You know, there's absolutely no point in taking that position when there's so much uncertainty, about the future of the club.
Absolutely. Well, back to matters on the pitch. Forest have a game tonight against Rotherham United, currently bottom of the EFL Championship, at the City Ground this evening. Aaron Tshibola could feature in the game after his completed move on Monday. Gary Brazil is keen to add further additions before the deadline, although they might not arrive in time, whilst Rotherham could give a debut to fullback Semi Ajayi after he had joined on loan from Cardiff City on Monday. Miller's boss Paul Warren is still hopeful for more additions as well. Now, Forest are unbeaten in their last 18 matches against the Millers, whilst Rotherham have won once at the City Ground in their entire history. This surely should be a match that Forest would win. I mean, if they're going to win any match in the Championship, it surely should be against the league's bottom club.
Yeah, it's an absolute must-win for Forest. It's a big sort of six-pointer for them. If they can't win this game at home to Rotherham, then there's really not much hope for Forest this season, I don't think. Rotherham have the worst defence in the league, and with the sort of firepower Nottingham Forest do have up front, I really think they should be putting Rotherham away. But, you know, they've not been playing too well, so it's debatable whether or not they're going to live up to the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost 28-28, so... they've lost 28-28 games, so hopefully we can make that 21.
Absolutely. Well, hope for a victory for Forest tonight. I think that will draw to a close this episode of Over the Trent. Thank you ever so much for coming on, Joe, Liam and Callum. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time for more action and reaction to our local football teams, Nottingham Forest and Notts County. Thank you very much for listening this week.
This is URN Sport.